Development Camp versus City of Edmonds. And I hope I didn't mess up your last name. You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to save 4 minutes for rebuttal, please. May it please the court, Scott Blumenkamp, appearing pro se. The action before the court is an exceedingly simple case predominantly based on statutory interpretation, not facts and evidence. The hearing examiner did not follow a required procedure under ECDC 2100-040-C4 to hold a hearing reviewing the permit or approval using criteria required for the original permit and subsection A of the section. Instead, he agreed with the city attorney's arguments that lack legal merit, and contrary to the statute, he ruled that he did not have authority to hear all claims. Both the hearing examiner and the Superior Court erroneously ruled the statute to give discretion to the director to refer a limited subset of the criteria of the original application. The statute does not allow the hearing examiner to only consider that the director deems valid deficiencies in the decision. It requires him to use the criteria from the original application for review. Under Washington state law, discretion must be explicitly given in the statute or implicit to support the purpose of the statute. Nowhere is discretion explicitly given to the director to make a determination of validity of the claims, nor would implicit discretion contribute to the purpose of the statute to review decisions made by the same department. The statute must harmonize as a whole. The referral from the director is the matter as a whole, not just what the director deems appropriate.
Time's limited, and I want to make sure you've got a chance to answer some of our questions.
Absolutely.
So, if an appeal had been taken from the architectural board review approval, what issues could have been raised in that appeal?
Well, at the time, the architectural board was 2 years before the grading was ever proposed. The actual review and the documents in it did not show the grading fully, the full required grading permit. The issue before the court is that in Chumley versus Snohomish County, which this court decided just a matter of a month or two ago, that a permit is not a final decision. There's expectation of enforcement to that permit about the conditions and the regulations involved in that permit. And in this case, the city claimed an aspect of finality to the permit. You're not able to challenge a permit because of finality and you're not within the 21 days of LUPA. It's not a final decision. That was decided in Chumley versus Snohomish County.
The hearing examiner, though, points out that under the code 1845.035, that the architectural board has the obligation to review the standards, for example, the 1845 standards on clearing and tree removal.
Absolutely.
But so if they did consider that as part of their review, wouldn't that appeal from that decision be the logical time and place to raise that question?
I was not in a position to even be contemplating that because it was 2 years before I bought the property.
Of course, but your predecessor in interest for
sure. Sure, absolutely. But at the same point, the decision by the ADB, the Architectural Design Board, said, I believe it was condition 12, that all permits will be in accordance to regulations of the city. So it is looking forward to saying there will now be, and there was, it was, I believe, December of 2014, that the actual grading permit was applied for and approved.
Is your situation more like Samuelson Furniture than Chumley, though? In Samuelson Furniture, there was an approval, or City of Ferndale gave approval, a building permit, that necessarily included consideration of where the shoreline was. Ecology comes back later and says, oops, you're outside, you're within the shoreline, you got to apply for our permit. And the court ultimately said that necessarily had to be decided. So conversely, here, if it had to be necessarily decided what the clearing and tree removal standards were that applied here, why wouldn't that first appeal be the time to...
It was not because of two factors. Number one is that the actual original application of the ADB board did not include all the documentation for a grading permit. It did not include the contours and those things that you would need to know. It did not include the actual retaining wall that was roughly 2 feet from the property line that directly is in violation 1845-050, I believe it's H1, which is you cannot disturb and lower the grade within the drip line of a tree. The drip line is the diameter of the tree, 1 foot for each inch of the diameter of the trunk of the tree. So in one case, I have a 42-inch tree in diameter. It would be 42 inches in diameter around that tree that you cannot lower the grade, you cannot run equipment within that area.
In the original permit, was that spelled out or drawn on a map?
It was not in any way, Your Honor. The Architectural Design Board basically looks at overall regulations, and then a year later, they apply for the grading permit. The grading permit is when they should have had all that. And they certainly could have submitted it to the Architectural Design Board, but they did not. And in the grading permit, there is no documentation showing those diameters around the trees. There's a whole list under H of 1845 of all the different things you do to protect trees. And there was actually also a inspection required of the site and the contiguous properties to protect and make sure that no more trees than were necessary would be destroyed. And obviously, trees on my property are not open to them destroying them.
Thank you. You have 4 minutes.
May it please the court, Jeff Taraday on behalf of the City of Edmonds. I'd like to start by just going over the details of ECDC 2100-040. This is the provision that originates this matter.
Who's the officer with the highest level of authority under the scheme of 040?
Under the scheme of 040, I think it depends on what decision is being made. For example, if the question is who has the highest level of authority to determine whether an alleged deficiency is an actual deficiency, then I would say that's the director. If the question is who's the highest level of authority to determine whether an actual deficiency has been properly addressed or properly reconditioned, then I would say that would be the hearing examiner.
But under that scheme, doesn't that mean then that if you have a planning director who's there's something wrong with his judgment, you know, he's incompetent or he doesn't interpret the statute correctly or if he's even corrupt in some way, he gets to just say, okay, I don't think this deficiency cuts the mustard, and then that's the end of it.
Well, that's the end of it. Administratively, that's the end of it, but one could take a judicial appeal of that determination if one felt that that was erroneous.
So your position is that the director's decision to not send some of the issues up could have been appealed at
that
time?
Absolutely.
And when would the time trigger? Would it be the 21-day LUPA standard? Would it be a different form of judicial review?
I haven't really considered whether LUPA applies to that decision. If so, then yes, 21 days would apply. The other alternative would be some sort of a writ of cert or a constitutional writ of cert or something like that. But assuming that LUPA would apply to that, and it probably would, then 21 days.
Does the city have an interpretation process, code interpretation?
It does.
So you're saying that the LUPA, there should have been a LUPA petition filed 21 days from July 14th, the date of Shane Hope's long discussion here? I think that's the key.
If the goal was to change the scope of the hearing before the examiner or to challenge the director's determination that an alleged deficiency was not an actual deficiency, then yes, that would have needed to have been judicially appealed within the proper time period. So under that provision, there's basically, as the court is well aware from this discussion, there's four categories of deficiencies or alleged deficiencies. Category one would be alleged deficiencies that turn out not to be deficiencies at all. Category two would be alleged deficiencies that turn out to be actual deficiencies in the director's determination, but for which the director specifies a reasonable time for the permittee to correct the deficiency.
Those could I take you to the argument by your opponent that 1845-050H sets out these standards for clearing and tree removal that clearly speak to protective measures to be taken as to trees in areas immediately subject to construction. In this record, who made a decision whether there were trees in areas immediately subject to construction?
The ADB should have made that determination, and to the extent that it did not, that's an issue that should have been appealed within 21 days of the ADB's decision. But the ADB would have had the charge to do that.
And that issue can never be resurrected in any kind of subsequent enforcement action?
I don't believe so. And just even hypothetically, there was some discussion about the grading permit. I'd just like to note for the record, there was also not an appeal taken, a LUPA appeal taken of the grading permit either. So even if one could reach that by having a LUPA on the grading permit, that also did not happen.
How do you distinguish what you're alleging is the fact pattern and the proper analysis then from what happened in Chumbly?
Well, there's a couple things that are distinct in Chumbly. In that case, first of all, I think one of the key pieces of information in that case is that Chumbly involved work that was not permitted at all on a totally separate lot than the lot for the building permit. So in Chumbly, the building permit was for lot 36, and the septic or the on-site sewage disposal system was on lots 60 and 61. So our owner there was trying to argue that it was a collateral attack, and I think the court rightfully distinguished it by saying, well, the owner, no one would have had any way of knowing that lots 60 and 61 were in play there because the building permits that were issued did not make any reference to lots 60 and 61. So I think there's a clear factual distinction there. Secondly, in Chumbly, there was also the suggestion that there would be a forthcoming permit by virtue of the fact that lots 60 and 61 had not yet been permitted, and there was the possibility that a permit would be required for those lots. In this case, the permit was issued and needed to be appealed. So that I think those are two critical differences between this case and Chumbly.
I guess the response to that would be that, one of the underlying dynamics in Chumbly was the county's desire to just have everything just be whitewashed, so to speak, after the issuance of the original building permit and say that everything should have been appealed in the building permit, even though it wasn't really obvious what was going to happen. And the key thing was that there is a provision in LUPA that allows you to appeal a failure to enforce. Now, in your brief, you're taking the position that this isn't a failure to enforce case at all. It's everything has to be referred back to the original permit decision by the ADB, whereas Mr. Blomenkamp takes the position that this is not a permit appeal at all. It's an enforcement decision, like in Chumbly, that the city of Edmonds, I guess you are, failed to enforce these provisions, which had never really been interpreted as to whether what's said in the director's decision, that there's supposed to be protection for trees where the drip line of a tree overlaps a construction line. So as I understand it anyway, for the first time anywhere in this decision by the director, he says, well, that just only refers to trees on the subject property. So that's a question of interpretation, really, of code interpretation. So why isn't that available for appeal to the hearing examiner? I guess, well, that's your position, that it just can't be, and that when at the very latest, when Mr. Blomenkamp saw this decision by the city development director, that that's when should have just gone around the hearing examiner and brought a LUPA appeal right at that moment.
If that was the Yeah, to the extent that because really the city's position has been the director looked at these issues. It's not that we didn't consider whether there was a violation. The city looked at these issues. The director made a determination that there was no violation. There was no violation of city code.
And Chumley, the analogous person to the director also made that determination and said, well, you know, it's the health department's responsibility, so we didn't have to do it.
Okay, to the extent
so
that
here,
that
arguably, the analogy would be that the director is saying, well, these trees aren't on the subject property, so we don't have any responsibility for them. Well, that's a debatable proposition. It's debatable.
It's okay. Debatable, and to the extent that one wanted to
so
appeal
that. So somebody
that
makes a code interpretation, and so then I guess that's what's a little bit hard to understand is how he would have a code set up where that would just end with the director. And even though everything else can go to the hearing examiner never gets to look at a question of code construction.
Well, the city has all sorts of permit decisions that don't get appealed administratively. So we have type 1, type 2, type 3, type 4, et cetera. And not all of those have an administrative appeal. There's several of them that the appeal goes straight to court. And so
but your position is that on the date of this director's decision, he's to file a LUPA petition to challenge that code interpretation at the same time the hearing examiner review is going on. That's what you would see?
That's essentially what would have to happen if the scope of the hearing is under challenge, because otherwise the only other conclusion that one can come to is that every single alleged deficiency goes to the examiner, and the code just simply doesn't support that. The plain language of the code pretty clearly suggests that that only actual deficiencies and only even a subset of actual deficiencies go to the hearing examiner.
In your city code interpretation process, I assume that's an interpretation made by the director?
Correct.
Does that get appealed to the hearing examiner?
I believe so. I believe it can be. Yes.
One final clarification. You referred to a grading permit. Was there actually a clearing permit separately issued?
I think that those are used interchangeably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a few issues here. Number one is that the scope of the miscellaneous review is any permit approved by the city under the Community Development Code may be reviewed under this section if the conditions of the permit are not being met. A permit includes any city approval in the Community Development Code. That is an administrative review to cover any of these decisions like Your Honor talked about, possibly a director not interpreting the code correctly, that sort of thing. In 2100.040, if you look at number 4 and 5, it is explicitly says if there is requirements to change the conditions on the permit, to deny the permit, that is reviewed by the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner in the city of Edmonds is the highest authority to interpret the code. The director is simply a administrative policeman. They made themselves judge, jury on this situation. They were the prosecutor, judge, and jury, and they're not in the city of Edmonds. The hearing examiner interprets the code, whether it be a conditional use permit, whether it be a variance, that sort of thing. The key here is that in the ADB, there's not one word about 1845. Not one word. They did not address it at all. That was to be at a future date. And that's very similar to Chumley in the sense that you had a review, it was not covering everything. They then later, over a year later, put in for a clearing permit, and they did not do their duty by inspecting the contiguous properties and the site to determine these things. The only thing in the ADB board was that there's an aerial view showing a huge canopy of trees. You can't see where those trees reside.
About a different issue. I mean, this question of code interpretation,
yes,
not
Your Honor,
about the drip line, but just this review procedure. I mean, the city's argument is, and you know, it's certainly not real easy to get here, but they make certainly a plausible argument because the it starts out by talking, this 040 talks about the alleged deficiencies.
Yes.
And then, but what the what the director does is refer the deficiencies. Now, your solution to this is that we write in the word alleged.
No.
Which is not the way we normally approach a statute.
The city himself just now said actual deficiencies. It does not say that in the code. It says the director of community services shall notify the permittee in writing that the permit is being reviewed, list the alleged deficiencies, and specify a reasonable time for the permittee to correct the deficiencies. He said actual deficiencies.
Well, what else could that mean?
Well,
if it's something other than an alleged deficiency?
Well, my point is you must harmonize that with the rest of the code, which says that the city hearing examiner will hear the permit conditions and Section A. And it says refer the matter. There is no point in the code that says the city director can refer a subsection of deficiencies, actual deficiencies, some number of deficiencies. It says she refers the matter. The matter is referring to the review. It is not one deficiency. It's not two. It says the matter. It's singular. The only thing that can refer to is the review itself.
So if the hearing examiner had been sent these issues, and then the hearing examiner turns around and says, you know, when you look at the one hearing standard of the Regulatory Reform Act, and you look at the LUPA case law on not coming back, you can't make your arguments you want to make to me because they're barred.
My explanation would be, number one, is in 3670C, B, 160, explicitly shows that explicitly requires local municipalities to have a enforcement scheme. Okay, and the one hearing aspect is about a permitting aspect. It is not saying once you permit, have one hearing, one open hearing, you can never enforce. An enforcement action would require another open hearing at any other time that they did not do what they're required to do by the permit.
Thank you.
Thank you.